Law 47. Do not go past the mark you aimed for. In victory, learn when to stop. The moment of victory is often the moment of greatest peril. In the heat of victory, arrogance and overconfidence can push you past the goal you had aimed for, and by going too far, you make more enemies than you defeat. Do not allow success to go to your head. There is no substitute for strategy and careful planning. Set a goal, and when you reach it, stop. Understand, in the realm of power, you must be guided by reason. To let a momentary thrill or an emotional victory influence or guide your moves will prove fatal. When you attain success, step back, be cautious. When you gain victory, understand the part played by the particular circumstances of a situation, and never simply repeat the same actions again and again. History is littered with the ruins of victorious empires and the corpses of leaders who could not learn to stop and consolidate their gains. Because it is so tempting to exclaim our victories, our wins, to the world around us. The world around us, whether this be on social media or in person. We like to talk about the positive things we've done, achieved, accomplished, goals we've hit. And we like to go further and talk about what we're going to do next past then. Now this law is exemplifying how there is danger in that. There is a great danger in letting your emotions, even though they may be positive, uplifting and empowering, drive you. There is a quote that I really love and that I've committed to memory that I think encapsulates this law very eloquently, and it's, avoid undue elation in achievement and undue depression in adversity. And what this means is, don't get too high, don't get too low. The most common thing to say is to not get too low. You know, when you're depressed or when you're sad or when you have these lowly emotions, quickly people come to the rescue to try and lift you up. But how often do people come in a moment of great achievement to help you bring you back down? It's unbalanced. It's unbalanced because we have a negative connotation of these negative emotions, of these adverse emotions that can be self-destructive in many ways, but also provide a lot of growth within them. But when we feel elation, when we feel elation from victory and winning, we often go too far because no one reels us in. Now, when no one reels us in, because most don't understand that being too elated in achievement can be dangerous as well. So while the status quo may not understand this, well, I don't make my videos for the status quo. I make them for the minority. And that is you, listening. So, you have to remind yourself, like I remind myself, not to get too high in achievement and winning, because there is great danger in that, and I will go on to explain why and how. Success plays strange tricks on the mind and makes you feel invulnerable, while also making you more hostile and emotional when people challenge your power, because you're on a high, right? You've won. Victory. You've tasted the sweet elixir of success. And this puts you in a vulnerable position, especially if you haven't tasted it before. So when other people come to challenge this, it can reveal insecurities and shake your foundation. It makes you less able to adapt to circumstances. You come to believe your character is more responsible for your success than your strategizing and planning. You need to realize that your moment of triumph is also a moment when you have to rely on cunning and strategy all the more, consolidating your power base, recognizing the role of luck and circumstance in your success, and remaining vigilant against changes in your good fortune. It is the moment of victory when you need to play the courtier's game and pay more attention than ever to the laws of power. The greatest danger occurs at the moment of victory. Napoleon Bonaparte. Keys to power. Power has its own rhythms and patterns. Those who succeed at the game are the ones who control the patterns and vary them at will, keeping people off balance while they set the tempo. And the essence of strategy is controlling what comes next. And the elation of victory can upset your ability to control what comes next in two ways. First, you owe your success to a pattern that you are apt to try to repeat. You will try to keep moving in the same direction without stopping to see whether this is still the direction that is best for you. Second, success tends to go to your head and make you emotional. Feeling invulnerable, you make aggressive moves that ultimately undo the victory you have gained. But the lesson is simple. The powerful vary their rhythms and patterns, change the course, adapt to circumstance, and learn to improvise. Rather than letting their dancing feet impel them forward, they step back and look where they are going. That is the challenge. To pause amongst the midst of victory is the challenge, is the hardest thing. To take a breath, analyze, and move with caution, but swiftness. It is as if their bloodstream bore a kind of antidote to the intoxication of victory, letting them control their emotions and come to a kind of mental halt where they have attained success. They steady themselves, give themselves the space to reflect on what has happened, examine the role of circumstance and luck in their success. As they say in riding school, you have to be able to control yourself before you can control the horse. Luck and circumstance always play a role in power. This is inevitable and actually make the game more interesting. But despite what you may think, good luck is more dangerous than bad luck. This is kind of what I was saying before about elation having the potential to be more dangerous than depression. Now, bad luck teaches valuable lessons about patience, timing, and the need to be prepared for the worst. While good luck deludes you into the opposite lesson, making you think your brilliance will carry you through. Your fortune will inevitably turn, and when it does, you will be completely unprepared. I don't really like saying good luck to people. It's a concept I'm still trying to grasp to this day, because it's hard to encapsulate it, because you can't taste it. You can't measure luck, right? It's not a tangible thing. You can't write luck down on paper. Regardless of the words we want to use, luck, fortune, the universe, God, fate, there is an energy being played that is out of our control. And this energy has a, well, this is what I believe, this energy has a control over the rhythms and circumstances of our lives and of our being. Again, just what I've learned from my perspective in my life, this is my truth so far. But think about it like this. If you have one fortunate thing after another occur and happen to you, well, not only will you be in a better frame of mind, of course you're going to be more positive. Wow, look at all these great things happening to me. Hopefully you'll be grateful as well, and you won't skip out on being grateful and appreciative of the fortune that has arisen at your doorstep. But I think it can put you in a vulnerable position to keep moving forward in a direction that may not serve you the best, because you have seen a situation work out in a certain way, not because of 100% of your actions, but because of a third party entity, a third party energy, luck, fate, universe, if that makes sense. It can delude you into a false sense of security. That's what I feel like it can do. And at the end of the day, I feel like the greatest human lessons are learnt from pain. I feel like the human beings, diamonds are made from pressure. Human beings are made from, well, human beings are made from, y'all know what human beings are, how they're made. But human beings are grown, is what I'm trying to say, through a great pressure of their environment. And I feel like if the pressure is balanced too far in one direction of the totem pole of pain or pleasure, then either of those two extremes can create an unbalanced human being. Avoid undue elation in achievement and undue depression in adversity. Robert reiterates and continues on the idea of luck. The good luck that elevates you or seals your success brings the moment for you to open your eyes. The wheel of fortune will hurdle you down as easily as up. If you prepare for the fall, it is less likely to ruin you when it happens. People who have a run of success can catch a kind of fever, and even when they themselves try to stay calm, the people below them often pressure them to go past their mark and into dangerous waters. You have to have a strategy for dealing with these people, because these people aren't living your life. But you're kind of like a test dummy for them. Keep going, keep going. You can do it. I believe in you. Well, of course, they may come with a positive intention. It's not always good to push past the mark you have once achieved. And simply preaching moderation in response will make you look weak and small-minded. And seeming to fail to follow up on a victory can lessen your power. And when the Athenian general and statesman Pericles led a series of naval campaigns around the Black Sea in 436 BC, his easy triumphs inflamed the Athenians' desire for more. They dreamed of conquering Egypt, overrunning Persia, sailing for Sicily. On the one hand, Pericles reined in these dangerous emotions by warning of the perils of hubris. On the other hand, he fed them by fighting small battles that he knew he could win, creating the appearance that he was preserving the momentum of success. The skill with which Pericles played this game is revealed by what happened when he died. The demagogues took over, pushed Athens into invading Sicily, and in one rash move, destroyed an empire. Now, Pericles played that so intelligently because he created the appearance of victory. Minor victories. He didn't go too far in conquering every city he saw, but he still maintained an appearance of momentum of success. People who go past the mark are often motivated by a desire to please a master by proving their dedication. Prove a master, aka prove a boss, prove a manager, prove a CEO, prove a best friend, prove their partner, prove someone they admire, look up to, etc., etc. So they're motivated by a desire to prove their dedication. But an excess of effort exposes you to the risk of making the master suspicious of you. On several occasions, generals under Philip of Macedon were disgraced and demoted immediately after leading their troops to a great victory. One more such victory, Philip thought, and the man might become a rival instead of an underling. When you serve a master, it is often wise to measure your victories carefully, letting him get the glory and never making him uneasy. This comes to Law 1. Never outshine the master. Makes them insecure. Go too far in your victory, they will see you're better than them. If you're better than them and you're seen to be more competent, then now they're at risk. Now their position is in danger, and they will do everything they can to remove you from power before they are. And this whole law is not just in winning and victory, it's just not going past the mark. The mark is a symbol for a position of power. For example, another moment when a small success can spoil the chances for a larger one may come if a master or superior grants you a favor, gives you a gift. This is what I mean. It is a dangerous mistake to ask for more. That is the position of power. You've been given the gift, but you ask for more? Dangerous. You will seem insecure. Perhaps you feel you do not deserve this favor and you have to grab as much as you can when you have the chance, which may not come again. The proper response is to accept the favor graciously and withdraw any subsequent favors you should earn without having to ask for them. Finally, the moment when you stop has a great dramatic import. What comes last sticks in the mind as kind of an exclamation point. There is no better time to stop and walk away than after a victory. Keep going and you risk lessening the effect, even ending up defeated. As lawyers say of cross-examination, always stop with a victory. Image: Icarus falling from the sky. His father Daedalus fashioned wings of wax that allow the two men to fly out of the labyrinth and escape the Minotaur. Elated by the triumphant escape and the feeling of flight, Icarus soars higher and higher until the sun melts the wings and he hurtles to his death. Authority: Princes and republics should content themselves with victory, for when they aim at more, they generally lose. The use of insulting language toward an enemy arises from the insolence of victory or from the false hope of victory, which later misleads men as often in their actions as in their words. For when this false hope takes possession of the mind, it makes men go beyond the mark and causes them to sacrifice a certain good for an uncertain better. Niccolo Machiavelli. Reversal. As Machiavelli says, either destroy a man or leave him alone entirely. Inflicting half punishment or mild injury will only create an enemy whose bitterness will grow with time and who will take revenge. When you beat an enemy, then, make your victory complete. Crush him into non-existence. Be merciless with your enemy, but do not create new enemies by overreaching. There are some who become more cautious then, even after a victory, which they see as just giving them more possessions to worry about and protect. Your caution after victory should never make you hesitate or lose momentum, but rather act as a safeguard against rash action. Law 47. Do not go past the mark you aimed for in victory. Learn when to stop. We got one more left. One law more to go. Thank you so much if you've seen them all up to this date. That's crazy if you have. Much love and appreciation to you. I'm excited to bring you the last one next week.